the problem of human suffering, sickness, disease, pain, and death, have been pondered by the sages throughout the ages. Why do good people suffer? Why are some seemingly healed while others are left to languish in pain? Questions like these can only be answered from the Word of God. We are glad that you have joined us as we look into God's Word for the solution to such ancient questions in today's edition of the Message of Grace.
The Message of Grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today for our Bible study together, and we want you to know that we count it a real joy and privilege to be able to come into your home and into your life and to share with you some things from God's Word. The Bible is God's Word. Paul says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is a profitable book. Only when we handle it the way God says to handle it. You know, anything you have in life that is profitable and valuable can be misused. And the Bible's that way. It can be misused and abused, and unfortunately it is. You say, well then, preacher, how am I supposed to know how to study the Bible? How am I supposed to understand how to get the profit out of it? Well, the same book that tells you it's given by God and it's profitable also tells you how to study it and how to get the profit out of it. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that issue of rightly dividing the word of truth is the issue, and that's the key, as it were, to unlock the treasure chest of the word of God and to gain the riches out of the Bible that God's placed in it for us. Romans chapter number 11, verse number 13, is probably one of the most important verses you could ever learn. Paul says in Romans 11, verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If you're going to understand the Bible, if you're going to get the profit out of the Word of God that God's put in it for you, you're going to have to understand, you're going to have to see that until you come to the ministry of the Apostle Paul in the Bible, you don't have a ministry, you don't have a message that goes to the Gentiles. When Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify this office that Christ has given me, he's saying something quite revolutionary. From Abraham all the way down through human history, from Abraham all the way down to the time of Paul, you don't have a direct message being sent by God to the Gentiles. Rather, you have God dealing with the nation Israel and through them sending His Word out to others. You go to the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see the earthly ministry of our Lord. And our Lord was not going about dealing with everyone in the world. John says He came unto His own. He came unto His own people, the nation Israel. He told the woman at the well at Samaria that salvation is of the Jews. He told the disciples that I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And He sent those apostles, the 12, out and told them to go and preach repentance unto all nations beginning at Jerusalem. In other words, the nation Israel was of primacy in that program. But when you come to Paul, all of that changes. The Apostle Paul is the initiator of the grace of God to the Gentiles. Paul said, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me, to send to the Gentiles, how that by revelation Christ made known unto me this secret, this mystery, which in other ages was not made known. There's something new that God does and that he introduces through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul is the one that writes directly to you and to me today. Paul is the only one in the Bible that sends a message directly to you in your home today. He's the initiator. He's the grace giver for us today. And that's not to exalt Paul. In fact, he says, I magnify my office, not himself. One place he says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace, this special favor given that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what's the fellowship of the mystery. You see, it's not to exalt Paul, but rather it's the office. I magnify my office. He says, I'm magnifying the authority that I've received from the Lord Jesus Christ to preach this message of grace to the Gentiles. Can I say to you, my friend, that most of the confusion in Christendom today could be wiped away, could be erased, the barriers between believers and denominations and all the rest could easily be erased if the church would simply see this important, if they'd have recognized the importance of the office, the authority that God has given, the message that God has committed to and through the Apostle Paul. And I know people say, well, you're just making too much of Paul. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're not trying to harp on Paul. Rather, it's to recognize that Paul is the instrument, the vehicle through whom Christ is revealed to us today as the source and the foundation of our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 12, now I say that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Somebody says, well, see, they were making too much of Paul, and you guys are making too much of Paul, and you're giving him too much credit, and you're putting him on a level with Jesus Christ. And that's not true at all. And that isn't what that verse is talking about. You notice the verse says, somebody was saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Well, were they putting Christ on the same level? You see, the issue here in this passage is personalities. They weren't to throw out Christ any more than they were to throw out Paul or Cephas. The issue here is Paul's talking about these people not following the personalities of men. They were claiming men rather than the doctrine of the Word of God committed to them. You turn over to chapter 11 in 1 Corinthians. You know there are only two people in the Bible that ever say something like this. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, Paul said, even as I also am of Christ. You know something? Paul knew you were supposed to follow Christ. And he knew that if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in truth and reality, we have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as he has revealed his will and purpose to us through the ministry, through the office, through the message committed to us through the Apostle Paul. You say, well, but what real difference does it make if I rightly divide the word or not? What real difference does it make if I'm scriptural but I don't rightly divide? I mean, I just believe in taking all the Bible. Well, let me show you something. Mark chapter 16, if you will. Mark chapter 16. Somebody says, well, what difference does it make if I fail to rightly divide the word of truth? What difference does it make if I don't do it? Well, it could make a difference. Watch. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. And he said unto them, he's talking to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, you hear that passage quoted quite often today. People say, you go to missionary conferences, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, amen, verily. Then somebody will come along, some other church, and they'll say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, most people wouldn't say that, most Protestants anyway. Some will. They say, but wait, that's the rest of the sentence. And so it is. It's all the same commission. But you know, it doesn't stop there either. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. And so people go around and they're casting out, exorcising demons, and seeking to, claiming to, and talking in tongues. And tongues talking is a prominent thing today. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, you know, the interesting thing about that passage is that that's all one commission. That's not a passage that you can come along and just take, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel of every creature, and say that's our marching orders, and not claim the rest of it, not obey the rest of it, ignore the rest of it. That isn't fair. That isn't true. That isn't honoring to God's word. That isn't honest. But it isn't any more honest to say, well, we'll take verse 16 too and believe, and you got to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. Hey, folks, that isn't all the passage says either. The passage says that once you believe, that there are a bunch of signs that that God is going to work, confirming His word with signs following. And here they are. You're going to cast out devils and speak in tongues. And so people say, well, we need to be able to talk in tongues. And if you're not a tongues talker, you hadn't got it. But you can't stop there either. Because the next verse says the same breath, our Lord says, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. And they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You see, you can't reach in there and pull just some of that stuff out. It's all one unit. If that passage of Scripture is what God's doing today, or if you mistakenly think it is, because it isn't, that passage of Scripture is not a description of what God's doing in the dispensation of grace. And my friend, if you're scriptural and you try to claim that passage today, you've never been big enough, you never will be big enough to make God do something He isn't doing. But if you want to presume upon God and be scriptural but not rightly divide the word, be scriptural but not recognize the change in the program that's taken place since this commission was given, can it be dangerous to you? What harm can it be? Can it cause to be scriptural but not dispensational? Well, if you tried to obey that passage, it could cost you your life. And worse than that, it could cost you your soul. Somebody said to lose one's wealth is bad, to lose one's health is more, but to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. And in this passage, trying to obey this passage today, you could lose your wealth, you could lose your health, and you could lose your soul. Does it make a difference if you rightly divide the word? You better believe it does. Folks, there's a reason in this Bible that people aren't healed today according to the passages. Let me show you again. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter number 8. There's a reason in this Bible why people don't have the healing that they seek and claim today. Have you ever wondered why God isn't healing you today when you get sick? Oh, I know people claim to have it. And nowadays there's a real slick way is, you're supposed to claim it, and then if you don't have it, you just make like you got it anyway. It's sort of a superstitious little thing that goes along where, well, you know, I still got the cancer, or I still got the toothache or the abscess or whatever, but I'm claiming it, and if I just keep in faith claiming it, sooner or later, it'll show up. I've got my healing, and I'm just waiting for it to get here. And you know what that is? That's just a silly theological gimmick that takes your prayer life and your faith life and makes superstitious nonsense out of it. And it all comes about from a failure to believe the Word of God rightly divided. Oh, I know that folks quote Scripture, but they don't rightly divide the Scripture. And the most dangerous thing you can do is quote the Word of God, be scriptural, but not dispensational. Let me show you. Matthew chapter number 8. Here's a favorite verse of the earthly program people. Here's a favorite verse of people that are seeking to tell you that you need to have God heal you today. Matthew 6, chapter number 8, verse number 16. Matthew 8:16, watch it closely. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. With his word, with the power of his might, he healed all that were sick. What he sent his apostles out to do in Mark 16, he had demonstrated and taught them to do in their midst. He cast out devils and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now notice the passage, will you? I mean, this passage is the great burden of many a ministry today. My friend, we don't go by experience. We go by the Word of God. Experience is not the proof that God is in it. The Word of God is. You can't base your faith on what you see. We walk not by sight, not by what we see, but by what God says. So just take a dare of faith, would you? Take a dare of faith to believe that this verse means what it says and really read it. Don't just let somebody quote it to you and then run off and editorialize about it with a bunch of fanciful stuff. Let the verse say what it says. Look at verse 17. Verse 16, he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Do you see the cross anywhere in that passage? This is Matthew 8. Folks, there are about 3 years going to go by in our Lord's ministry. You got to get way over to Matthew chapter 27 before the cross of Christ shows up. When he talks here about took our infirmities and bare our sickness, he's not talking about the cross. He bore their sicknesses at that moment as he healed them. As Christ came and in his ministry healed these people, as he was healing them with his power, with the word of his power, he was bearing their infirmities, bearing their sicknesses, and releasing them from them. This passage is not a passage talking about Calvary. It's not a passage talking about him going to Calvary and on the cross releasing sickness. Rather, he bore their sickness. He took our infirmities and bare our sickness, he says, as he healed them in his healing ministry. And it says he healed all that were sick. No misfires. No halfway healings. No healing some hidden illness inside and leaving the need to wear glasses. But that isn't all. The all that were healed. Get ready for a shock now. Come with me to Matthew chapter 10. Just two chapters over. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 5. Go to Matthew 10:5. Get a hold of it. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth. By the way, in verse 1 it says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth to do what? To heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, to cast out unclean spirits. And he commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Get it? He commanded them, don't preach, don't heal, don't cast out demons from the Gentiles. And go not into the way of the Gentiles, and in any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Not one Gentile in the whole crowd. They were told specifically when they went to heal, when they went to preach, when they went to cleanse the leper, cast out the devils, when they went to give the blessings he'd given them, they were clearly told not to go and heal Gentiles. Everybody was Jews. Everyone was an Israeli. They were only sent to do it for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now go to Matthew chapter 15. When our Lord in his healing ministry was carrying him. I know all this is, for some of you, it's a shock. I know that for some of you, it's an embarrassment. But there has to come a time in your life when the Word of God is the thing that makes the difference. Matthew chapter 15, verse 25, Jesus is talking to His disciples and He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, my friend, I don't know how words could be any plainer than that. I don't know how it could be that something could be any clearer from God's Word about what our Lord was doing and who He was ministering to and what His ministry was about. Anybody that's honest knows that these things and these passages don't work today. You don't see broken arms and paralytic legs and all the rest. Oh, you see a claim here, a claim there. But even if you were to see them, even if it were to happen to you, you would know from the verses that you claim, that are being claimed, that it wasn't that verse that was being fulfilled for you, because these verses can't fit you. They just belong to Israel and Israel's program. You see, there's a great division in God's dealings. God had a program with and for the nation Israel. Come with me now over to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, you'll see the same identical thing taking place. In the Acts period, you'll see that Peter, when they go out and carry on that Acts ministry, you'll see that they go out and carry out their post-resurrection commission. They go out and do exactly what the Lord told them. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John come up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And there's a man, a certain man, verse 2 says, lame from his mother's womb, who was carried sat daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, asking alms of the people who entered into the temple. He's seeing Peter and John going into the temple, ask alms. He wants some money from them. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He didn't have a bank account. He didn't have two suits. He didn't have big offering campaigns going on. Matthew 10, Christ said, don't take a purse. Don't take a coat. Don't have the extra. Just take what's on your back and go. Don't have but one suit of clothes and one pair of shoes. And don't have a bank account. Silver and gold have I none. That's a lot different than what you hear today, isn't it? But such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He did have something. You know what he had? He had that power that Christ gave him when he commissioned him in Mark chapter 16. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He was healed because Peter had what Mark 16, verse 18, said he had. He'd given up everything of his own, but my friend, he had the gifts. He had the sign gifts. He had the power that Christ had promised him. And those signs had to follow. These signs shall follow them that believe. They had to follow, or something would have been wrong. Well, you know something, folks? They don't follow preachers today. Even the people that claim them don't obey the verses. Then there's got to be something wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll make it Romans chapter 8. Time's going to catch us. You know, the little racing red hand on the face of this studio clock just keeps going round and round and round. Always gets over too soon. We're just getting warmed up here. Romans chapter 8, verse 22, Paul says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. You know something? You know, and I know, that the whole creation and us believers with it groan and travail. We suffer in pain. And you know as good as I do that the death rate, in spite of all the so-called healing campaigns, in spite of all the healing promises that people claim, in spite of all the healing prayers people pray, in spite of it all, the death rate is still one apiece. And you know that. You know that from your experience. And from the Word of God, you can know why it is. God Almighty's changed the program. That's why it is. God's withdrawn that program that He'd given to the nation Israel, where He was going to remove sickness and sorrow from the earth and set up His kingdom in righteousness. He's withdrawn that temporarily, set it aside, and today He's doing something different. He's forming a spiritual body of believers. And we'll get healed. Our healing will be the redemption of our body. One day we're going to be resurrected and get a new glorified body. And in that day, we won't have any baldness and bifocals and bridge work and bulges and bunions. We'll have a body fashioned like unto His body, but not until then. Now, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The reason is that God has delayed that healing program. He's delayed the coming of His kingdom in order that He might form the church, the body of Christ. He had another purpose to execute first. So He's delayed that kingdom program with its healing program and its deliverance program. And now He's forming the body of Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit today is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Read Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and you'll see the fruit of the Spirit today is not deliverance, but it's the capacity to bear up under the load a long time, to suffer long-suffering. It's the power of the Spirit of God to go through whatever might come to you so that you can exercise your position as an ambassador of Christ in the dispensation of grace. Until next time, we meet again. Maranatha.
Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Does God Want Me Well? It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at the Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request the tape, Does God Want Me Well? The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. We trust our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.